purity, sincerity. We must learn from Prabhupada's example and develop the ability of how to associate with the three classes of devotees, namely those more advanced peers and those less advanced. Otherwise we remain Kanishta. And the Kanishta cannot expand preaching work merely like a Madhyama. Prabhupada came down from the Uttama platform to show us how to behave as a Madhyama, a preacher of Krishna consciousness. He knew properly how to associate with everyone. And we have to not just idolize Prabhupada for his successes in achieving perfect Krishna consciousness, but also advance to at least the Madhyama level ourselves. We must learn how to associate in a pleasing way, in a cooperative way, with all grades and classes of Vaishnavas. This must be strictly learned by Prabhupada's example and instruction to perfection. New devotees are attracted by advanced levels of Krishna consciousness, by the qualities exhibited by one who is pure in heart and actually advanced in dedication to the goal of unalloyed devotion to Krishna. We must, meaning you all also, have that charge to become like that ourselves. So I'm making reference to this Kanishta and Madhyama. I think it comes up a few other times later on. Because if you want to refer back to this same section, in describing even before Prabhupada left, leaders in our society were unable to work cooperatively together. Then, after Prabhupada's disappearance, that initial problem became magnified many times over. So, history helps understand how to do things the right way, and history can also help us understand that if we don't do things differently, what we can expect again. So, the difference, one of the major differences between Kanishta Adhikari and Madhyama Adhikari is Kanishta Adhikari is characterized the neophyte or beginning stage of devotion. One is unable to even recognize who is advanced and who is not advanced. Perhaps all of you can think back when you first came to the temple and just, you know, the different individuals that you were attracted to see as a nice person or someone you wanted to spend time with or whatever, and weren't necessarily at all the most advanced devotees in the temple. In other words, it's just a matter of liking. I like and I don't like. This one is my friend and this one is my enemy or whatever. Some evaluation based on sense gratification. But spiritual evaluation is something else altogether. So the Madhyama is one who can make those distinctions, who's advanced and who's not, and has and understands how to associate in a different ways with different grades and stages of devotion of others. Not just that you're very, this point is made clear in the next section, but not just that you're rendering your service very beautifully, but the difficulty of not developing the Madhyama qualification across the board leads to problems later on. If you simply preach but you don't worship, then you can have some problem. If you learn how to deal with new devotees but you don't understand how to deal with more advanced devotees, then you're going to have some problem. Maybe not necessarily immediately, initially, but in due course of time. Or if you don't know how to associate with peers, and you're very good at hearing classes or taking instruction from your authority, but you don't know how to associate with your peers, then that brings about some other kinds of problems later on. As evidenced, for example, by the leaders of our society who could relate to Prabhupada when he was present, but they couldn't deal with one another. You take that to its... As one goes on with the process of chanting Hare Krishna and rendering devotional service, one actually becomes very powerful in different ways. But that greater and greater degree of becoming powerful can also mean that later on one becomes reduced to nothing. Punar Mushika Bhava. The one who gives empowerment to become an advanced devotee, that very same empowerment can later turn again to bring you back to the position of being a mouse. Or the most embarrassing condition of material life, once again. So it's very, individually it's very important, and societally it's a very important thing. To be able to associate properly. This is actually a theme that's presented in this whole thing. Eva, you want to ask something?
Yes. Section
before, you want to know what I meant by that? I explained it, but I'll say it again quickly. After Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance, he had requested Is that you? Bhaktisiddhanta requested the formation of a GBC. That wasn't done. Absent the GBC, or governing body of many, instead, Bhaktisiddhanta's followers opted for another course. They disobeyed his order and they did another thing. Some got behind so-and-so Swami to become the successor. And another group got behind so-and-so Swami to become Bhaktisiddhanta's successor. And they formed two camps. And they began fighting amongst themselves. And their preaching decreased more and more and more and more. While they got behind whose properties was whose, and who is the successor, this one or that one. So Prabhupada comments about this in Chaitanya Charitamrita and also in so many discussions with the devotees. For this reason, he formed the GBC. So, although the number was different, the mistake was the same. Instead of dividing into two camps, we divided into 12. Each individual having the position over their zone as Prabhupada had over the institution. No. ISKCON divided itself into 12 instead of 2, meaning instead of 2 as the Gaudiya Math. Our mistake was 12, Gaudiya Math's mistake was 2, but it's the same mistake. Because what Prabhupada wanted was neither 12 nor 2, but a body of many. And that body of many was the final authority. Any other question or point to discuss? Yeah?
Sakura Gaudiya Math distributed zones amongst themselves. What position did the GBC have after that?
They didn't have a GBC. They didn't even form it. They didn't even start it. They didn't have zones. They just had, they had this idea that there should be a single person in charge of the whole institution that Bhaktisiddhanta had created. Much like in New York Times article, Kirtananda Swami was quoted as saying, "I am the heir to ISKCON. I am Prabhupada's successor. How could I resign from the GBC? I am ISKCON." I mean, that's the furthest extent this idea had taken, but even lesser extents were also producing a lot of suffering within our society, for the members of our society, and for the disciples.
So, I just have one more thing about the 2 and the 12. The 2 is supposed to be a confederation of GBC and
the Gaudiya Math? No, the 2 is what the Gaudiya Math did. After Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance, because they didn't form a GBC, what they did instead was, some were putting forward so-and-so. He is the successor. And another group said, no, no, he's the successor. And they divide into two camps. They weren't, well, they didn't work together, didn't form a body, so their activities just fell, you know, subsided. There were the buildings, but the preaching stopped while they quarreled. And so it is to this day.
So all 12 authority Montesinos were antagonists to the GBC or something like that?
No, it's not 12 in the Gaudiya Math. This 12 figure has to do with those number of persons who were zonal acharyas.
Oh, okay, that's what I mean.
After Prabhupada's disappearance. They're not seen, no, but to answer your question, they're not seen as enemies. But Prabhupada indicated while he was present that they wanted to, his godbrothers wanted to gain influence over ISKCON, superseding Prabhupada's influence over ISKCON in different ways. And he warned not to go and hear from them. Because of that, there's numbers of references to that effect. But unfortunately, after Prabhupada's disappearance, that's exactly what they did. And the advice they received, at least we can say this much, it helped very much to push it along. This idea of zonal acharya, that the acharya is above all other organization. Because the Gaudiya Math system, after Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance, was each individual has his mat. And he's the proprietor. It's his mat. You know, just as you go along Bhaktisiddhanta Road in Mayapur, where Prabhupada established the ISKCON Center, and there's, you know, so-and-so Swami's mat. And he doesn't do anything. He has nothing to do with the guy down the street who's his godbrother. What to speak of a plan for international preaching work, that if they could work together in a cooperative fashion, it could be dynamic, because they're actually very subtle, like saintly persons. But they didn't do that. They didn't work in a cooperative manner to push on the affair, the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta, far and wide. They just, this is my mantra, this is my mantra, this is my turf, these are my disciples, this is my money, my property, my room, my house, my assets, my mantra.
So the Judicists trying to like consolidate everything?
They did like that. They were not consolidated, that's what they already did. My zone, my disciples, my BBT. Establishing themselves like little Prabhupada's. And those that thought they were not just little Prabhupada's but as good as Prabhupada, then they tried to assert themselves over the whole of Prabhupada's movement. And that's what was driving everybody crazy. And aside from the illegal things, on the spiritual side, that was the thing that was so disturbing, coming from New Vrindavan. First of all, the term zonal acharya is like with tongue in cheek, because that's never something that Prabhupada described. Prabhupada did assign zones, GBC men with zones. Prabhupada did do that. But he didn't say that these persons with zones should exclusively be the ones who initiate. That idea became widespread, but actually Prabhupada never said that. So they just took the one and combined it with the other and established themselves in a particular way. I mean, to share the blame, we supported it. And we supported it because we thought that it was right. We thought that that's what Prabhupada wanted. In due course of time, after some honest admissions were made, but that isn't what Prabhupada wanted, after all. and some fall downs took place that exposed the fact that they're not Upamadikaris after all. And after more careful study of Prabhupada's books, it's become very clear that that's not what Prabhupada wanted at all. Nor is that what Lord Chaitanya wanted at all. Water is for everyone. Now, who's qualified, who's not qualified, that's another thing. One has to make oneself qualified. And when one is qualified, then it will be recognized by the Vaishnavas in general. Or be recognized by those who are very learned in spiritual life. And advanced in Krishna consciousness, they will recognize here is someone who is very highly qualified individual. But not by rubber stamping. Or by not by wearing something, you know, by claiming some exclusivity.
So what ways are in the future to prevent something like that? If what you're saying is true, that it will be accepted by Vaishnavas in general. That seems what happened in the past. What you're saying is that they accepted it in general.
What your question is then it's the subject of my thoughts 24 hours a day practically. But the GBC requested a 50-person committee, a subcommittee, to do the following things in Mayapur. And one of them was to make recommendations of exactly what you're asking. To make recommendations for checks and balances so this can be, as far as possible, prevented from happening again. Another thing that they requested was a vote of confidence or no confidence in each of the GBC members individually after interviewing them and considering very, very carefully. And the third thing was making recommendations for additional GBC members on the GBC body to replace those that were no longer functioning on the GBC. And one response, there's two main responses you'll find as answers to your question in this paper. One of them is to come through this Madhyama Adhikari stage. Specifically, to learn how to associate properly with one another. And also specifically to learn how to take association from those who are very advanced saintly persons. To understand how to do that properly. That's, as we read on, that will become more clear. And the second thing is, by studying Prabhupada's books. Not just reading them, you know, so you could say I read the Bhagavatam, the whole 10 cantos, but I mean studying, scrutinizing, Prabhupada's, in these letters, we, before evaluating the GBC members individually in a Mr. Ghosty format for about 5 or 6 hours, we just heard Prabhupada's instructions in review of things that he had written in letters, things that he had written in his books, instructions he had given about the GBC. What is a GBC man? What are his qualifications? What are his duties? How should he behave in relation to other GBC men? How should he behave in relation to the society? What is the function of the GBC body in general in relation to Prabhupada's will? And on and on and on. How does one become instated? How does one become removed? What's the relationship of the sannyas ashram in vis-a-vis the GBC body? How do they interrelate? How do their duties overlap? How does one assist and aid the function of the other? And vice versa. And extensively we listen to these things. And that just brought a lot of light to how things were done wrong and what things should be done wrong. And that should have been done initially, the first thing. So that's what that's my response to your question. That's our first responsibility. To prevent these things from happening again. And also, in the future, in situations that may become bewildering for one reason or another, so that we know what's to be done and what's not to be done, we have to have that guideline. Otherwise, we're moved by mob rule and sentiment. I like so-and-so, so I'll do whatever he says. He's a very dynamic, charismatic leader, so I just every word he says is that's all I need to know. That kind of devotion is not, it needs to be properly placed, is the point that I'm making. And if it's, everything is according to scripture, if everything that like I just described, can also be said, and everything is precisely according to the instructions of scripture, behavior and speech, both. Because this is one of the confusing things, this is a side comment, but this is one of the confusing things about hearing Kirtananda speak or reading something that he's written. There's, on one side there's speech, on the other side there's behavior. Now, if you're very intelligent, by evaluating the speech, discrepancies can be found. But those discrepancies in some cases are very serious, and some cases are just hair-splitting discrepancies, like discrepancies in logic. And that's not necessarily that because there's illogic that the conclusion is wrong philosophically. Although in some cases it's exactly like that. But that's less problematic, far less problematic than the behavior side of things. Because there are, on these principles that there is serious discrepancy, those are the ones that really count, like non-acceptance of the GBC. And the acharya is above the body of GBC membership. I don't have to listen to anybody else for pleasing Prabhupada, even, or to speak of for my own purification. I don't have to listen to anybody. If you disagree, then leave my zone, because I am the king. To the point where someone who is a serious critic, you do away with him. You bump them off. Gets to be pretty crazy. Yeah?
When you hear the redundancy, so you know what this is going to be like, and you will not see what is la realidad actual con respecto a eso. Y es la, y que es la, que es lo que es lo de la disciplina, ¿verdad? Que deben hacer los discípulos.
¿De quién?
De los discípulos de la seguir a Prabhupada, a realizar su maestro espiritual.
Oh, he wants to know whether is there another incident like New Vrindavan elsewhere in Israel?
Not that I know of, but I can tell you something that will be pretty shocking. Just what happened in Mayapur while we were there. Devotees were threatened at gunpoint that if they spoke ill against another spiritual master, that they would be seriously harmed.
Con los discípulos o con los maestros espirituales, con otros maestros espirituales, sino lo podían herir apuntados con una pistola. Eso ocurrió en el
pueblo. I'm glad he's asking this question because there's a very strong note of optimism in terms of situations within our society becoming more healthy. But I don't want to create the nice rosy picture that all the problems are in the past and the road ahead is all, you know, roses and daffodils. It's not like that. There are some very serious, this contamination goes very deep. I've written that here. Some of our leaders have fallen. Some have been expelled. Some are trying to reform themselves like anything. And others are still completely bewildered. Adi Purush had some of his godbrothers come up and say, this is a separate incident. One, the incident I just cited was from Jayadeva's disciples, who threatened the life of Jasamati Nandini. Because in a closed meeting of Prabhupada disciples, he said something that they took as an offense to their guru. So they were ready to do him in, if he said anything else again, in these meetings. Then there's another group, those who are Bhavananda's disciples in Mayapur, who told Adi Purusha, who's also a Bhavananda disciple, that if the decision was made in these meetings of any kind that was very harsh and unfair and unduly critical of their guru, they were going to do everybody in with weapons. They had a whole plan. Close the back gate, close the front gate, open fire. And if the local Bengali police, they would support them. They had it all figured out. Because these are, the story was going to be, these are all foreigners. They came in, officer, and they started it. They made this big disturbance. They were trying to take over our local place, and we just had to protect ourselves. Sorry for all the bloodshed. In other words, this neophyte, it's not even neophyte, but just to be nice about it, neophyte mentality, where one accepts one's spiritual master in a position that one's spiritual master is not in, it's a very foolish move. It's not only completely crazy, but it makes the disciple crazy, it also makes the spiritual master crazy. And everyone becomes attached to that craziness, to the point where it pushes things to the point of Krishna then just has to smash the whole situation. And some other god-awful thing can follow. So the devotee should be educated from the very beginning, from what's what. Who's in what position and what's our responsibility to become advanced in spiritual understanding ourselves. I addressed this paper principally to disciples. And I was, when I wrote it, I was thinking of the thing on Vyasa Puja Day that I was trying very specifically to emphasize and request, and that is that all of you very seriously read and study Prabhupada books. That's an individual responsibility that each devotee in our movement has. So that if in the future any, as contamination of the heart is being removed from any individual, or as impurities within our society in general is being removed overall in a broader way, you don't become bewildered, or your faith does not become diminished. Rather, your faith can become strengthened, understanding this process is actually a purifying process. And those that don't submit themselves to become purified become eliminated because it is purifying. And I can remember having this realization, fortunately for me, very, very early as a devotee. You know, from a very Kanishtha position, I thought a certain devotee was like, just like an ideal, you know, Superman. Krishna conscious, he could do everything, up at the earliest hours, study, doing all the right things. I just adored this individual, but actually had very serious contaminations in his heart. And he left abruptly. And just before he left, he destroyed my car. The car that I had brought with me from, and I hadn't really fully in my mind surrendered to being in the temple. But this very same person, just prior to his leaving Prabhupada Association and his movement, destroyed the engine in the car because he just was in such a disturbed state of consciousness, he forgot to put oil in, burn the engine out. The engine seized. So after some, serious association with some of the senior devotees in the temple. I did understand. I did, my faith in the process of devotional service was not shaken. As I said, again, it was confirmed. Here was a man who was, in his heart, deviant. So, how to come to the right standard? That's the question. How individually can we come to the right standard? How can we prevent these things from happening to ourselves or society in general? You have to be very learned. So at least you know what to do. And if there's something that's a discrepancy from what we should do, then you can identify it clearly.
Iti Vishruta Vikrama Roshasya Navrata Tupati Rakrama.
On the voice.
Katra Tata Girastasta Iti Vishruta Vikrama Shoshatya Sankata Tatra Tatra.
Here and there.
Gira.
Words.
Ta Ta.
Many, various.
Iti.
Thus.
Vishruta Vikrama.
He whose chivalrous activities are widely reputed.
Shroshati
will hear.
Atma Ashita
about himself.
Gata
psalms, narrations.
Prithu
King Prithu.
Prithu Parakrama.
Distinctly powerful. Translation. In this way, when the chivalrous activities of King Prithu came to be known to the people in general, King Prithu will always hear about himself and his uniquely powerful activities. Purport to artificially advertise oneself and thus enjoy a so-called reputation is a kind of conceit. Prithu Maharaj was famous amongst the people because of his chivalrous activities. He did not have to advertise himself artificially. One's factual reputation cannot be covered. Text 27. I'll read the Sanskrit and also the verse.
Tisho vijitya patiruta chakra svateja so patita loka shalya sura sarindra upagiyamana mahanubhavo bhavita patir bhuva.
No one will be able to, this is the last verse of the chapter. No one will be able to disobey the orders of Prithu Maharaj. After conquering the world, he will completely eradicate the threefold miseries of the citizens. Then, he will be recognized all over the world. At that time, both the suras and asuras will undoubtedly glorify his magnanimous activities. Purport. At the time of Maharaj Prithu, the world was ruled by one emperor, although there were many subordinate states. Just as there are many United States in various parts of the world, in olden days the entire world was ruled through many states. But there was a supreme emperor who ruled over all subsidiary states. As soon as there were some discrepancies in the maintenance of the Varnashram system, the emperor would immediately take charge of the small states. The word Upatita Loka Shalya indicates that Maharaj Prithu completely uprooted all the miseries of the citizens The word shalya means piercing thorns. There are many kinds of miserable thorns that pierce the citizens of a state, but all competent rulers, even up to the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira, uprooted all the miserable conditions of the citizens. It is stated that during the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira, there did not even exist severe cold or scorching heat, nor did the citizens suffer from any kind of mental anxiety. This is the standard of good government, such a peaceful and prosperous government, devoid of anxiety, was established by Prithu Maharaj. Thus the inhabitants of both saintly and demoniac planets were all engaged in glorifying the activities of Maharaj Prithu. Persons or nations anxious to spread their influence all over the world should consider this point. If one is able to eradicate completely the threefold miseries of the citizens, he should aspire to rule the world. One should not aspire to rule for any political or diplomatic considerations. Om Agyana Timurandhasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksun Niritam Jenitasmai Shri Gulavi Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Bhagadamayam Tadati Svapadam Tiktam. Here, this has just been a list of glorification of the qualities of Prithu Maharaj, who, as an incarnation of the Lord, was exhibiting ideal qualities. Each time there's an incarnation of the personality of Godhead, that incarnation has general as a general mission. As well, each particular incarnation is known by particular attributes. Prithunaya sadhanam vinashaya tadushkritam. Krishna is describing to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita why he makes an appearance. Prithunaya sadhanam vinashaya tadushkritam. Dharma samsthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. These three things are always there. Whenever the Lord advents, he chastises those who are miscreants, puts them in their place, corrects the disturbances that they're making one way or another. And those who are saintly personalities, he provides the required protection for them, and at the same time establishes religious principles. Sambhavami yuge yuge, from time to time, as it is required. So, it's not a surprise that, at least for those who are very much in the bodily concept of life, that they will not see the interrelation between different appearances of the personality of Godhead or different measures or means by which the Lord appears to accomplish these three things. In these particular verses, Prithu Maharaj is being described as he became well known for his chivalrous activities. And the next chapter will describe some particulars of how, just how he was particularly chivalrous. But this this quality of chivalry, this is a quality that is a quality of the Kshatriyas. When the Lord appears, generally he appears in the royal order or in the Kshatriya position. And sometimes he'll also appear in the Brahmana position. Of course, the exception to this we find in Lord Krishna's case, where although he's the personality of God, and he appeared as if he were in Vaishya family. But later on he assumed another role. And in this other role, this is where the dharma samstha panartaya, the principles of religiosity, were reestablished. Of course, whatever activities the Lord performs, just by his example, he's helping to establish religious principle. And same, in the case of Prithu Maharaj, just by his example, he was establishing what are the real principles of religion. Because the king, or as king, the deeds of chivalry that Maharaj Prithu were performing were in terms of the codes or standards of religious practice. Here it's mentioned that even prior to the appearance of Prithu Maharaj, those that weren't even incarnations of Godhead, Yudhisthira Maharaj, Prikrit Maharaj, etc., and all the kings previous, they were the emperor of the entire planet. Now how one can be the emperor of the entire planet unless one is extremely spiritually qualified? Of course, in the case of the personality of Godhead himself, he is the source of all spiritual qualification. Prabhupada makes the reference in the purport that just as in different places around the world, governments are conducted by division of states, and above the states there is a central government, like this. Here in this country, that's certainly the case. And in many democratic nations, this is also the case. So in this regard, Prabhupada would sometimes describe that we don't really mind so much, we're not so interested in the form of government. We're more interested in the qualification of the leaders of government. We're more interested in the qualification of spiritual realization. Just as the king who was just prior to Prithu Maharaj, Vena, his disqualification was, just as this verse is describing, that's on the board, to artificially advertise oneself and thus enjoy a so-called reputation is a kind of conceit. Vena was replying to the brahmanas when they approached him, as you can recall, that I, as king, am the representative of all the demigods, and therefore you don't need to perform any more sacrifices now, because you can just perform all your sacrifices for me, because I am the representative of all the demigods. Factually, this was not his position. It should be the position of one who is emperor of the entire world. Without that spiritual qualification, all hell breaks loose, disturbance in society follows. So, where there is, just as there was discrepancy in the Varnashram order, when King Vena was present, it was the Brahmanas who had to correct that disturbance of the Varnashram order. The king was not behaving properly. And because the king was not behaving properly, the Brahmanas were not permitted to perform their service properly. And therefore all the other the remaining social orders were also in a situation of great disturbance. And at the bottom of the Varnashram, the miscreants and rogues and thieves and rascals, they were running free, abundantly causing much disturbance. So, this was the first, in the purport, the first point that Prabhupada refers to, why it was that Prithu was known as a chivalrous king. He took his position of power or chivalry and applied it in the right way. Therefore, he was glorious. And in the right way means according to the absolute standards of the personality of Godhead. And this absolute standard is the standard of Varnashram order. It's particularly described that wherever there was serious discrepancy in the Varnashram system, where it was being improperly maintained, immediately Prithu Maharaj stepped in and saw to the, he took charge and saw to the proper readjustment. Where the king is so qualified that he can be emperor of the whole world, this is further described that the threefold miseries were no longer disturbing the citizens that Prithu Maharaj was responsible for. Now it's not possible for a king to see to all these details of the affairs of the of nature and the affairs of the universe himself. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself does not operate in this way. Rather, he has deputed representatives who look after all these universal affairs, namely the demigods, 33 million of them. So diverse and intricate and delicate are the arrangements of the affairs of the universe. But the spiritual principle is, when the personality of Godhead is pleased, all the parts and parcels of the Supreme are also pleased. All the demigods in charge of the universal affairs are also pleased, being parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. And thus, all desirable things, all necessary things, are bestowed very nicely. The kleshas, Adiyatmaka klesha, Adibhautika klesha, and Adidaivaka klesha, these miseries that are unwanted by the conditioned soul, come as a pinprick, or here it's the word of the piercing thorn of these miseries, come as a result of the demigods not being pleased and causing disturbance. Those things that should function in a very nice, harmonious way with the desires of the conditioned souls to try to progress in their spiritual life following the proper standards of Varnashram, the goal of their occupational duty to please the personality of Godhead. Therefore, whatever ingredients or whatever necessities they may have for performing that sacrifice, if their work is actually an act of sacrifice for pleasing the Supreme, all necessary ingredients are supplied. I was discussing this point with some of the devotees who have been staying in Vrindavan for some number of years. Of course, here in this particular purport is described that when Prithu Maharaj was present, there was no severe cold and no scorching heat. And in Vrindavan, there is particular abundance of scorching heat during certain times of the year, so much so that they're describing what they have to do for those that don't go away to some other climate, some other part of India during the blasting hot summer. They have to go through a great ordeal just to tolerate it because it's so severe. And as one looks around in Vrindavan, there's not a great deal of what in the West, for the conditioned materialistic person, how they might evaluate the living condition in Vrindavan, they might see it not as just very simple living, but very difficult living, very unconventional and, you know, not very opulent living. But actually, all the necessary, those who are residents in Vrindavan appreciate in this way, and even the visitors who are devotional can appreciate very nicely in this way, all of the necessary ingredients for performing one's devotional service, they're readily available. Everywhere, abundance of flowers, and Tulsi growing very naturally, without difficulty. And all the necessary cloth and silver and arti paraphernalia and all the basics that one requires for simple devotional life, they're there. And the other things, they're not there. At least, unless they're imported or supplied in some other kind of way, all the necessary things, they're already there. So one who wants to simply devote himself in worship of the personality of Godhead, it becomes very simple and easy life, uncomplicated and undistracted by so many actually unwanted, unnecessary and disturbing factors. However, we also have the explanation that in Vrindavan, those residents of Vrindavan, like the monkeys and the hogs and so forth, the unfortunate beasts and animals that reside there, they are residents who in their previous life performed some serious offense to the personality of Godhead, and as a result they had to take yet one more birth in this animal life. And then in their next life, Prabhupada described, they will then go back to Godhead. So even where there is worship of the personality of Godhead going on, one must be very, very careful. The injunction is that this is the purpose of life. At the same time, there are prohibitions or there are cautions that one must be very careful to observe, not to commit an offense. Very serious repercussion can take place when one commits a serious offense to the personality of Godhead. In Prithu Maharaja's case, he was the personality of Godhead. And therefore all the kleshas or all the pinpricks causing disturbance immediately were withdrawn. Because he was in fact the personality who was the sum total of all the demigods. And therefore, because Prithu Maharaj was a very chivalrous king and leading his citizens properly according to the proper religious standards, spiritual standards, all the demigods were pleased, all necessities were abundantly supplied. As this next chapter goes on to describe, because the king was so powerful that at some time when the earth stopped restricting, when the earth should have been, or when the earth began restricting supply, when the earth should have been supplying, Prithu Maharaj became very angry and challenged the earth, "You must." This is chivalry. To see to the proper execution of spiritual standard and the participation of all in that according to that proper spiritual standard. This is what Prithu Maharaj is being glorified for. This is the particular feature, just as I mentioned earlier, every time there's an incarnation of the Lord, there is some aspect that particular incarnation appears as in an exemplary fashion to show for posterity the ideal example, the ideal characteristics of a particular feature of perfection in spiritual life. So this is what Prithu Maharaj is known for. Very, very strong king, loved by everyone, just as we find the six Goswamis, they were also known. Dira, Dira, Janapriyo. They were loved by both the gentle and the ruffian. There's some nice description how the six Goswamis would live. We know that they didn't have any fixed residence, aside from the time that they spent writing in the banks of the Jamuna or in Shamkund or wherever they were. They also traveled from village to village. And whenever they went to a given village, they were received in a spectacular fashion. They were complete mendicants. But they were received in a very splendorous way. And a gentle and ruffian loved them very much. And they, as they spent the day in that particular village, they would see each of the village residents, and they would come forward and give very personal counsel to the individual citizens of that village. And then the next day, the next morning, as they would leave that village, the citizens would all see them off and be so sad to see them go, and just they were beloved by everyone. Here, Prithu Maharaj was also beloved by everyone. He was king of, emperor of this earth planet. But the residents of other planets, his fame was so wide and well known that they also loved him very dearly. And they glorified him and appreciated him. The demons and devotees alike. The suras and the asuras. This gives us some indication also how in our presentation of Krishna consciousness, by preaching Krishna consciousness publicly, as well as by practicing Krishna consciousness within the temple, we will become loved. We can expect to become loved by all. Those inclined in a pious or religious way, and even those who are not. Simply by following and executing and living by very, very carefully the absolute points of spiritual practice. Krishna becomes very pleased in this way. And when Krishna becomes very pleased, all of his parts and parcels also become very pleased. This we can expect and live by. And I'm out of time. There's a minute or two for questions if someone wants to ask. Danny? That's right. They appreciated very much the quality of Prithu Maharaj and, say, also of the six Goswamis. The reason, in specifically the reason for the six Goswamis, is because they were non-envious. In other words, the asuras were not at all feeling threatened by Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami, because they didn't want anything. They had no desire for anything that the asuras had possession of or were controlling or any of that. They were so much completely self-satisfied and experiencing blissful spiritual life, the asuras felt no threat from them, no challenge from them. They were completely non-envious, and because they were completely non-envious, everyone loved them. Their qualities were so nice. Even for one who, and for those who want sense gratification, if you could create for the sense gratifier a situation where there were no material miseries, how nice that would be. In the calculation of the asura, they want to achieve that misery-less condition of life by some godless way. But he was glorified for being able to establish that. More on the same point. Doesn't say. The capability was there for interplanetary travel. At least we know, for example, Narada Muni was present at that time and he was able to travel from planet to planet. And there's also a description of celestial airplanes, etc. I mean, exactly how that works, I don't know. We have to end class. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.